for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com
or LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, July the 3rd, 2006. Carla Batard is the speaker of the service teaching on the working of seducing spirits.
Power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. My children, look to me for your healing. Look to me for your deliverance. For I move by my spirit. There are times when I use humans. But I say to you, look unto me. You look unto me. For I am your healer and I am your deliverer. Look ye first to me. Seek not a man, but seek unto me. And yea, I shall touch you, and I shall deliver you, and I shall heal you, for you are my beloved children, and I love you. Be not afraid, be not dismayed, for I am with you. And yea, I shall pour out my spirit this day as you seek me with all your heart and all your soul. And yea, that your deliverance shall come forth speedily. And continue then to seek me. For as you continue to seek me, I will continue to pour out my spirit upon you until I bring you unto that state that you are my image, saith the Lord.
Now, Carla will come and minister this morning, and we're looking for her husband to show up this afternoon. He's not going to make it. It's raining. Oh, well. Lord, then send us some rain, too. Amen. Okay, Carla.
Jasper, Texas. That's where I'm from. Way out in the middle of nowhere. I had a friend come recently, and she told me that I was truly Sarah, who followed Abraham into the wilderness. Because we live about 8 miles off the highway, and there's only about four houses on our road, and it's 5 miles long. And I love it there. It's quiet. It's a good place to just listen and talk to God and walk the dirt roads and hear the birds sing. And it's just a little piece of heaven. I love it. Got my message there several weeks ago on the dirt road. Let's open with prayer. Father, we do thank you for this morning, for the beautiful worship. We thank you for the freedom to worship you. We thank you for your word and the liberty that it brings us. Lord, I can tell it to them, but you must reveal it to them. And I'm asking right now that you would reveal this to them as you have revealed it to me, and that it will change their lives forever and strengthen them and equip them for the days ahead. I ask your anointing to be on this word. Lord, your word is anointed. And I thank you that it will have an anointing effect on everyone who hears it. And I thank you for what you're going to do already, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been trying to exercise. I don't like to exercise. But I walk, and I've been trying to walk 2 miles every day for a while. And we have this new little puppy. His name is Duke. And he's a nuisance because he's young, you know, and he just wants to jump and bite my hands and bite my feet and just get in the way most of the time. But we're also dog sitting, and the dog that we're sitting for's name is Brody, and he's older. He's a little easier to be around. And while I'm walking, I just was really observing these two dogs, and up came a message. Because Brody, who is older, is way up ahead of me, and he is very watchful. He is looking into the woods. He is sniffing out snakes. He is on the road. He is focused. And he is on the job. And nothing distracts him. Even Duke, you know, he's biting at his ears and going up under him. Sometimes he's on three legs, you know, because Duke has run up under him and it's just, but he is still focused. Nothing is distracting this dog. Now, Duke, on the other hand, can be a walking along and a butterfly will flip by and he's off chasing the butterfly. And he wants to check out every piece of garbage on the road. I mean, you know, he'll run over there and he'll pick up a bottle and he'll run with it for a while and drop it, and there'll be a dead squirrel up on the side of the road and he'll pick it up, and, you know, he's all about the squirrel. He is distracted by every little thing. And I thought, Lord, that is exactly how we are. And we need to be like Brody, because he's watching. He knows. He's already done the garbage. He's finished with the garbage. And he is focused. And that's how I want to be. Because sometimes we get distracted by things and we'll get off the road, the right road, the way. And some of us will stay off the road for a little while and then we realize that we're off the road and we'll get back on the road. But some people get off the road and then they'll wander into the woods, into dark places, and then they have a hard time finding their way back to the road. Now, I have to say that about Duke. Because he's young, he still has fear. Brody will go charging off. I mean, you know, because the hurricane was there, we still have a lot of trees laying around. And that dog, if he hears a noise that he recognizes as a deer or a squirrel, there's this one place on the road, he runs and jumps onto this tree, and then he launches. I mean, like almost flying, and he is after whatever it was. Duke will run to the edge and watch Brody. Now, that's wisdom in that. I do want to be like Duke in that respect. But so the message that came out of this is about seducing spirits. And they brought up deception the other night, and I thought, yes. But what I found interesting was everything he talked about was where I kept trying to go, but the Lord kept bringing me back to this. Because this is not actually about the seducing spirits that are out there to seduce you. This is going to show you how the seducing spirit works, which was very interesting to me too. So the scripture that this is based on is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And if y'all want to turn there, go ahead. I'd like for you to see the word while I read the word. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, and this is the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. And that word means that it is said in such a way that there is no room for doubt about the meaning. Speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and you realize we're in the latter times, right? I was talking about the latter times one time, and this old fella said, oh, they've been talking about the latter times since the book of Matthew, you know. So when I don't have an answer, I always get in the car and say, okay, Lord, what do you say to that? And he said, well, from Genesis to the time Jesus came, those were the first days. From the time Jesus came to the time Jesus returns, those are the latter days. So we are in the latter days. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So this is the time that we're in there, that some will depart or withdraw themselves from the things of God and give heed, which that word means hold the mind towards, a forward movement towards, to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So if we could say that it's not the departing from the faith that causes us to give heed to these seducing spirits, it is giving heed to the seducing spirits that causes us to depart from the faith. Now, and those doctrines of demons is the teachings of that which is demonic. The teachings from the devil. The word seducing means, in the Strong's, it means misleading. Misleading and deceiving. Now, Webster says about seducing, to lead in a wrong direction or into a mistaken action or belief. To lead astray or frustrate by underhandedness. It implies imposing a false belief that causes ignorance, unaware of the truth, and bewilderment, a condition of having lost your bearings, and helplessness, lacking protection, support, strength, or effectiveness, and often suggests deliberate entrapping for the agent's own end. So the agent we know is Satan, and his desired end is to steal, kill, and destroy anything or anyone that has anything to do with God and righteousness. Seduce means go astray, wander, err, be out of the right way, lead astray, stray from the truth. And deceiving is to cause to believe what is untrue, mislead, to impose upon, deal with dishonestly, cheat, to use or practice deceit, the act or practice of deceiving, or to trick. Okay, we all get that, right? Now, the spirits, this word, this came as kind of a surprise to me and opened up, you know, the rest of the message. But the spirits, the Strong's definition is a current of air, breath, or breeze. Like we talked about the spirit, you can't see it. It's like the wind. But by analogy or figuratively, it means the human spirit, the rational soul. And that's the part of us that is by reason or computation, it's rationalization, it's how we calculate, it's what we think, it's where we justify, it's a process of thoughts, thinking especially in orderly, logical ways. It is the power of comprehending or coming to a conclusion from something hinted at rather than something directly stated. So that's the part that applies to this scripture about seducing spirits. It's not something that, it's not a demon that's on the outside having an effect on us. It is our very mind, our thoughts. So you could call them deceiving thoughts. So we say that we'll give heed to deceiving thoughts. That means we're going to follow the wrong thing that we're thinking, okay? And we know from what's being said and what we all feel in our spirit that we're entering into a new time, an exciting time when we're going to begin to experience and witness and be instrumental in the power of God being released in the earth. But I have to tell you that with the same vigor, the enemy is releasing his stuff because that's always the way it's worked. Okay, therefore, seducing spirits work in the area of your intellect, your mind. It can be described as deceiving thoughts to cause you to stray from the truth and begin to believe something other than what we should believe in the Word. And you know why it's called seducing spirits? Because they're seductive. They're deceiving. Now, the word seductive means alluring and charming. Alluring, something that entices you with attraction or charm. Charming is a supernatural effect, and it has to do with being compelled or driven with an urge, with a physical force, a moral or a social pressure, or logical necessity. So it starts out being attractive. It appeals to the lust of your eye, right? Then it stirs a desire, and that is the lust of the flesh. Then comes the driving force. Pressure that you got to have it. It turns the danger of it is it turns into lust. The thoughts, it starts with just the thought, something you see. I was laughing at myself during the week before I came because I had fixed supper, and I'm trying not to eat a lot of carbohydrates, but I fixed macaroni and cheese, and I love it. And I want you to know that the pot of macaroni and cheese was seducing me. I thought, this is ridiculous, being seduced by macaroni and cheese. But it's changing the way I think, because if I recognize that as seduction, I have more resistance to it. If it's just a battle of, do I want to eat it? Do I not? I shouldn't eat it. I usually eat it. But that is the process of that has taken on a new meaning to me. because I'm not going to be seduced by macaroni and cheese. I did eat some, but I didn't eat the whole pot. See? Sometimes I wouldn't eat anything else just to have the whole pot of macaroni and cheese. That's crazy. That's the lust of the flesh. Okay. So now it's no longer a desire, but it's a lust. And lust means a longing, especially for what is forbidden, to set the heart upon and to crave. See, we can think about something. I remembered a time when I lived closer to a grocery store. Now I would have to drive. It would take me an hour to satisfy a lust for chocolate. And, you know, I hate to leave the house and drive an hour anywhere. So if I keep it out of the house, I'm doing pretty good. But there was a time that I would get in the car and drive to get whatever thought that was that I had on my mind to have it. That's a lust. So seduction is a power that causes a bad thing to seem good. That's what seduction is. And that's exactly what it will do to you. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Okay, now is a power that causes a bad thing to seem good. Bad. But that's a good way to see it. It is a power that will cause something that is bad to seem good. Now I'm going to show how we get there, because we've all done it. We've all done it. And the danger of doing it again is right around the corner. So I'm hoping that if we can begin to see the process, we can stop it before we get to the point of, how did that happen? How did that happen? Or before we see someone that it's happened to and think, how did that happen? Are you not asking yourself these questions about some of the things that we see happening? It's pretty disturbing. So one day I was trying to explain how this seducing spirit works, and then something else was added to the lesson. Now I want us to turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Everybody there? Yes. "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the foreigner who flattereth with her words." Now, I want you to stop right there. Because as I was trying to describe how this seducing spirit works, this chapter came to my mind. Because I'm thinking, this sounds familiar. Yeah. This is exactly what is said in Proverbs chapter 7. So we're going to, this chapter is about a harlot, the spirit of the harlot and her seducing power. But all of a sudden, it was the seducing spirit, not just the woman seducing the man, but the spirit of seduction, the seducing spirit, and how it works on all of us. Okay, in verse 7, it says, "I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house." Now the simple ones, simple means void of understanding, open and roomy, usually figuratively in a mental or moral sense, easily deceived, flattered, persuaded, silly, and foolish. Okay? When I saw open and roomy, I thought, yeah, that's usually where we call the airheads. You know, people that just don't have a whole lot going on up there. Which, you know, when I'm not behind here, I'm pretty airheady. I don't mean to be. Just simple. I'm just a simple person. Okay. It says in verse 9, "In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night." I want us to stop right there, because this is a time when the spirit of seduction is really active. In the twilight, when the sun starts going down, the demons start becoming active. I mean, you can see it in the physical world, that the animals of darkness, bats and roaches and all those, you know, dark kind of animals are active at night. That's when they come out. They don't like the light. More deaths occur at night. You look at the newspaper, that's when most of your stabbings take place, your shootings, your drug overdoses, car wrecks, rapes. That's when the burglars get out. They're getting more bold, but used to they would wait until night to go and steal. Now they'll just walk in today and put a gun in your face, and they don't care who's there. But those are the spirits of darkness are more active when it's dark. That's when they do their dirty work, under the cloak of darkness. And a lot of times when we have secret lives, you know, you'll read about people who, oh, in the daytime they were this person, but then at night they had this secret life and they would go out and do all manner of things. Darkness. Verse 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. Now, this was a surprise to me, looking up the word of harlot. In Strong's, the primary root of harlot means highly fed and therefore wanton. Isn't that interesting? Undisciplined, unrestrained, out of control, sensual, having to do with the gratification of the senses. What we see, what we hear, what we smell, taste, touch. Those are the things that have to do with harlotry. And we all have that, not just a loose woman. We all have that. Harlotry has to do with lust of the eye and lust of the flesh. Figuratively, harlot means commit idolatry. Because you see, the Jewish people were regarded as the spouse of Jehovah, right? And when they were unfaithful to God and went a-whoring, the Bible says, they went a-whoring. And there were men and women in that group. They chased after other gods. They departed from God, doing things or indulging in activities that God had strictly prohibited them from doing. So, and it says that she was subtle of heart. The word subtle, and when, you know, I thought about that, subtle, subtle. I know that from somewhere else, subtle, subtle. Oh, yes. Let's turn to Genesis 3:1. Here's somebody else that was very subtle. Actually, it's the same person. In the seducing spirit, it is Satan. In the garden, subtle, the serpent. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. See, there's the deceit right there. We need to stop with what God said. Don't get in an argument with the devil, because you'll lose. If you get in an argument, if you start trying to defend yourself against Satan, you're going to lose. You have to come at him with the word of God, and you got to stop with the word of God. So she said, the serpent said, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she saw. You get that? She saw with her eyes. And a tree to be desired, there's the desire. She saw it. And then she desired it. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So see, it started with a thought. He put a thought in her mind, and then she saw, and then she desired, and then she ate. See, it's a process, that seducing spirit, and we need to be ever aware of it. Brody. Watching for it, even. We need to be watching for it. That word subtle means cunning. This is the Strong's definition, cunning. And that means exhibiting skill. In other words, good at it. Usually in a bad sense. Webster says, a trick or stratagem intended to snare or deceive, skillful or ingenious in gaining an end. also protecting, maintaining, obeying, or concealing something hidden. That's what subtle is. Okay? Now let's go to verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house, but not particularly the woman, but the seducing spirit. Now she is outside, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Where is she? Everywhere. You may as well just say the seducing spirit is everywhere, and it is lying in wait. For who? I want you to look over at Proverbs 6:26. That chapter also is talking about chasing after seducing spirits. But look at 6:26. It says, "For by means of an unchaste woman or a seducing spirit, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress or the seducing spirit will hunt for the precious life." We are precious. God's people are precious, and the seducing spirit is looking. She's hunting for the precious life that she can destroy. And we're seeing that happening a lot in the churches. Pastors with the music leaders, they're being seduced, and they're just falling for it. So this is a timely message, and it needs to be shared with all of God's people. She's looking for the precious life. The word precious means valuable, life with a purpose, highly esteemed life, the children of the righteous. I got to tell you, Satan's hard-pressed for the children of the righteous because he's after our seed. He's after the seed of the righteous. Teach your children about this, the things that are going to be out there to lure them. It's a dangerous world out there. We don't have to be fearful, but if we are focused and we are watchful, we're not as likely to be taken by the seducing spirit. Why is she looking for the precious life? Because she wants to discredit the things of God. Like he said last night about the drunk, "What do you think about your image now?" See? The seducing spirit is out to discredit the man or the woman of God, to destroy the man or woman of God, to destroy that so he can destroy the plan. We're a threat. We should be taking the land instead of the enemy taking the land. We have sat back way too long. And where is it? Everywhere. Even in the house of God. We have seducing spirits roaming in the house of God. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." See, it's getting worse and worse. I mean, it is written. Here it is. Worse and worse. Not being negative, not being a doom and gloomer. I'm just telling you the Word of God. It's going to get worse and worse. So we've got to get wiser and wiser. Matthew 21:24. I'm going to flip over there. Some of these scriptures we've already heard this camp, but we're going to hear them again. 24:21-24. Matthew 24:21-24. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen, since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elders' sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So this tells us that none of us should think that we are above it. In fact, if you think you're above being deceived, you're deceived already. Because not too long ago when it happened to me, I learned that given the right set of circumstances, and believe me, Satan knows just the ones to set up, we are all capable of doing the unthinkable. Pride cometh before the fall. You must know how weak your flesh is. The Spirit of God in you is strong, but your flesh is weak. Now, we are supposed to take dominion over that flesh, die to that flesh, and we can do that. Because he's equipped us. He's given us everything we need to do to die to the flesh and allow the spirit man to live. Okay, Back to Proverbs chapter 7. Should have told you to keep your finger there. Verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. The word impudent means cocky boldness, having no regard for others or even you. That cocky boldness can make you forget who you are, forget God, forget your goals, your vision, your purpose, forget your wife, your husband, your vows, forget your office, your position. It can make you forget everything. Seducing spirit, subtle. And she has peace offerings. Now, what are we all after? Peace, right? So she comes, or the seducing spirit, whatever it is, yours is going to be different than mine. Each one of us has a different weakness where that seducing spirit will come to seduce you. And it will offer you peace. Because the torment, whatever torment you're in, whatever thought you're having that turns into a desire, that turns into a lust, to the point that you are so driven that the only peace you can have is to fulfill the thing. That's the kind of peace offering she has. It's a false peace. It's a lie. It's deception. Yeah, the peace of the world. Okay, in 15 it says, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. See, that seducing spirit will seek you out, and yep, it will find you. In 16, I have decked my bed. Now, here comes the seducing spirit with the things that are going to appeal. That charm sets in. It has an attraction. You start thinking about it. So she's setting the stage. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with embroidered works, with fine linen of Egypt. Good choice of words. Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. So she sets the stage. She paints the picture. All of a sudden, whatever that thought was begins to expand, and it begins to become visual to you. See, so now it's appealing to the lust of your eye. She's inviting. It sounds wonderful. You even begin to picture yourself in it. It sets in motion your imaginations or your thoughts. Then it appeals to the lust of your flesh. It becomes a desire. And as you set your mind on it, like it said, you take heed. You had a thought. You've entertained it a little bit. Now you're giving heed. You're moving in that direction of it. You want it. It goes from a want, a need, and then you're driven, and you don't even remember who you are until you have it. Let us solace ourselves with love. She's really talking about sex. It's not love. That's another lie. It's not love. But the solace in Strong's, the root means to leap with joy. Let's celebrate. Let's have a good time. Let's forget everything. Rejoice. Be extremely joyful. Wave joyously. And I like the illustration I give, like a peacock. You know, that peacock spreads its tail. Now it's flaunting. Webster says, alleviation of grief or anxiety. Divert, to turn from one course to another. Get it all. Turn away from life. Turn away from God. Turn away from everything. And go to the place of nothingness that doesn't exist. Because when you come out of nothingness, there's the something. You got to face the music. So ask yourself, what do you solace yourself with? It's usually with something forbidden. Even that we have forbidden from ourselves. Let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with chocolate. There's nothing wrong with chocolate. But too much chocolate there is something wrong with. You know, it's the excess. The excess of anything is sin. Nothing wrong with ice cream. But too much of it is not good. I have a confession to make. I hadn't even thought about ice cream, but I had one yesterday. I went to Doc's place. was the news. I confess, I've already repented. It wasn't even good. It doesn't hold a candle to Bluebell ice cream, I got to tell you. I didn't like it, but I ate it. I don't like to be wasteful. Yeah, there's the justification. It really wasn't good. So if y'all been seduced by the ice cream, forget it. Okay. So what do we solace ourselves with? Something forbidden, something we don't or won't allow ourselves to do in front of others. There's a lot of that going on now. People hiding and doing whatever it is they do. If you have something that you hide to do, you better know you're in trouble. Or if it's something that if we got caught, we would defend or justify. We convince ourselves it's not hurting anybody, so it's okay. That's another lie. And it usually will appeal area of our weakness. It's what you call a stronghold. It's a fortified place, like a castle. It's protected. We protect it, and it's well hidden, whatever our weakness is, whatever we've been seduced into. And he knows just what to use to seduce us. He'll present it to you just the way you like it. But know this, that his greatest power over you in your life right now is in the area of your secrets. Verse 19, she says, or the seducing spirit says, now in the King James, over in the column there where they have the words that they've switched out, it reads, "For my husband is not at home, for he has gone on a long journey." But the word actually is the goodman, which is two words together, good man. The good man is not home. And that's what happens to us when seduction sets in. We have the thought, we start building on it, then it stirs up a desire in us, then it becomes a lust, and then the good man, and the definition of that in Strong's is, it just means an individual, just a person. The good person, the great person, the mighty person, the worthy person. So when we get seduced, the good man leaves. It doesn't say where he goes. We don't know where he goes. When you fall to that, don't you wonder, where did I go? How did that happen? Because the good man goes. He's not home anymore. He has left the building. And then you are just going with the seduction. Right? Are y'all relating to this? Does it make sense? Okay, it doesn't say where the good man's gone. He's just going to be gone a while because he took money with him. And will come home at the day appointed. It doesn't really say when he's going to come back either, but I can tell you when he's going to come back. As soon as the deed is done. That's when the good man shows up, right? After the deed is done, because this is how Satan works. He'll lure you. He'll throw the bait out there, and then he hooks you, and then he draws you in, and then afterwards he goes, "Oh, look what you did. Shame on you." That's how it works. Then you're just left with the shame, which is a painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt. We're all familiar with that. Fear being found up. And then there's the cover-up. You know, you've got to have a cover-up because you can't let anybody find out about this. That's how he works. Then it goes on to say, "With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life." That's what the seducing spirit is after, your life. "Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Let not thine heart decline to seducing spirits. Go not astray in her path, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chamber's death. James chapter 1. You know, I've talked to people. I mean, I went through a really hard seduction. I suffered the effects of a seduction. Like I said, yours is different from mine. If I told you what it was, you'd probably say, that? But, you know, for me, it was terrible. But when I've talked to other people that have been in seduction, that have fallen, and now they're wounded and cast down, it's amazing the justifications that we go to, that we tell ourselves, and that we try to convince, and they're still in justification. But sometimes they'll say, well, you know, God allowed this to happen, so this or that or this or that. And I was reminded of James chapter 1. Let's look at that. James, I like James, you know, he's just kind of out there. He'll tell you like it is. He doesn't care what you think about it. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Okay? It doesn't say bad gift. Every good gift is from God. We can't blame our bad stuff on God. It was our choice. It was our choice. Make no mistake. You came into agreement with Satan. Romans 6:16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. See, we can still choose to sin. And like, I don't remember who it was that said, that seducing spirit is not going to come into your life wearing a big, ugly something that says, I'm going to destroy your life. Because we would turn away from that. It doesn't happen like that. It happens subtly. I mean, so subtle that we don't even know it's happening when it's happening. That's why I'm telling y'all this. See, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You have knowledge today of how the seducing spirit starts. It starts right here with a thought, an ungodly thought. And that's where we need to stop it. And that's where I came to the next part. 2 Corinthians 10. I mean, all of these scriptures we've heard a million times, but I want us to see something new, something powerful in this. 2 Corinthians 10, starting at 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. It's happening it's taking place in the physical, but you take care of it spiritually. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's that word again. Casting down imaginations. There's the thoughts. It just started with a thought, and then you begin to entertain the thought, and it becomes imagination. Then you're taking a little trip in your mind. Of course, it's to hell. Sounds fun at the time, because you don't know it's going to hell. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There is the place that we depart from. The knowledge of God. So if we keep that knowledge of God alive, if we are in the Word every day, if we are putting the Word in our mind, we're putting the Word in our heart, we write it on our hearts that we might not sin against Him. You got to feel your, just like we have to fill our bodies with healthy foods, we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. Because that's what's going to save us, is the Word of God. That's the weapon. If you don't have the Word in there, you don't have a weapon. You don't have a weapon. You don't have anything to fight with. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought back to the the obedience of the Word of God. Isn't that right? The battleground is in our mind, but the flesh is where the battle is fought out, either to the victory or to the defeat. Our weapons are mighty through God. We have the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We have the name of Jesus, and we can bind using His name. We have prayer. We can call somebody. I mean, if you're really struggling with something, find a friend, a godly friend that you can trust, like AA. They'll appoint someone, and when you're struggling, you call them. I don't know what they do beyond that because I'm not real familiar with it, but I know that they appoint someone to call. Well, find a friend that you can trust and call them and let them help you. Because what usually happens is when you start struggling, because you've kept this thing a secret, you've got it in the place, you're isolated. And that's what He wants to do. He wants to isolate. I hope y'all can just let go of all your secrets today, so that power can be broken off of your life that He is spiritually blackmailing you with. You're being blackmailed spiritually. You have deliverance. There's a book over there that tells you how to do self-deliverance. When the macaroni thing was happening, I take authority over that seducing spirit right now to eat the rest of that macaroni. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I will not fall to the seduction. I speak to that seducing spirit, go in the name of Jesus. It works. It works. Deliver yourself. Speak to that spirit. Bind it. Command it to leave you in the name of Jesus. Bind yourself to the Word of God. I bind myself today to the Word of God in the name of Jesus. And I reject everything from you, Satan, in Jesus' name. And use the Word. That's what Jesus used. We should follow His example. It is written. And then find you a scripture that applies to that and use it against your weakness. Every day I activate the mind of Christ. It says ye have the mind of Christ. So every day I pray, I take dominion over my body and I release, I activate the mind of Christ that I will have His thoughts. Call on the warring angels to come and do battle for you in the heavenlies. Because in Ephesians it says that we wrestle, we fight against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Activate a clean heart and a right spirit in yourself. Speak to yourself. A clean heart and a right spirit. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:1-2, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, only because He lives in it. By ourselves, we're not holy or acceptable. But because He lives in it, we are holy. He sees us holy and acceptable for His reasonable service. So this is a wake-up call. Wake up. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. And that means, I want y'all to think about Brody next time y'all have a temptation. Circumspectly means looking all around, careful to consider all circumstances and possible consequences. Focused, watchful. Not as fools, not as the unwise or a person lacking sense or judgment, or as children, immature, tossed to and fro, this is Ephesians 4:14, and carried about with every wind of doctrine like Duke. But Duke is going to grow up. He's already getting better. By the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, by which they lie in wait to deceive you. Know that deception is going to be, it's going to be looking for you. The precious life. Why? Because the days are evil. The days are evil. So did y'all learn something about seducing spirits? Deceiving thoughts. It starts right here. The next time something begins to, and whatever your weakness is, when something begins to appeal to you, let a red flag go up before it gets past here. Don't even give it the imagination. Stop it right there. Hey, I know what this is. I'm being seduced. And then come against it immediately. In the name of Jesus, you seducing spirit, you deceitful thought, I rebuke you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I activate the mind of Christ. Lord, I will think on you, on the Word. And Lord, is this road going to take me to heaven or to hell? That thought starts with a thought. Okay, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for the knowledge about seducing spirits. Lord, I pray that you would keep this word so active in our minds so that we will be watchful, we will be looking, we'll be waiting for it to present itself to us, and that we will do what we know to do with it, to cast it down, not to let it get past a thought that that red flag of seducing spirits will pop up immediately and change the course of action that Satan had planned for us. Now let's pray a prayer of repentance. I want you to think about the area of your seductions, the thing that your heart condemns you for. Because you know it says that if your heart condemn you not, then you can have confidence. And we need to have confidence. So I want you to search your heart right now. Ask the Lord to reveal to you, even if you don't know what it is, that area of seduction in your life. Lord, show us our hearts. Show us the seductions in our lives that we've been yielding to, tripping us up and keeping us from living a powerful life. Now pray with me. Father, ask you to forgive me for giving heed to seducing thoughts, to falling to deception over and over again in the same area. Today is the last day that I will walk into it ignorantly. Keep me watchful. And Lord, forgive me for the deed. Lord, forgive us. And I pray right now that we would forgive ourselves, put an end to the guilt and the shame, the condemnation, self-condemnation. Right now, Lord, I ask you to send your mighty warring angels. Fill this room, Lord. Send your angels of deliverance to deliver us, Lord, from the things that keep tripping us up. Right now, I take authority in the name of Jesus over every spirit of seduction that's been working in our lives. And I bind them in the name of Jesus. I come against lying spirits. I come against the lying spirit that we lie to ourselves with, and then we believe the lie. Every lying spirit, I command you to leave God's people. Speak to the Antichrist spirit, departing from the truth. All Antichrist spirits giving heed to the lies of Satan. Every Antichrist spirit, go in Jesus' name. I speak to the perverse spirit, the spirit that perverts the truth, that perverts our thoughts. In the name of Jesus, all perverse spirits, go. All spirits of deception, simple-mindedness, the deaf and dumb spirit, the spirit of confusion, the spirit of weakness, silliness, and foolishness, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of deception, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to rationalization. All spirits of rationalization, where you justify, where you defend what you're doing, lying to yourself and believing the lie, speak to all of those rationalization spirits, and I command you to go. I break your power off God's people right now. Rationalization, go in Jesus' name. Logic, all spirits of logic, go. Go in Jesus' name. Compromising the Word of God. All compromising spirits, go. I break your power off God's people right now. No more compromising. We'll stand up for what is right in the name of Jesus. Knowing that it's wrong, but doing it anyway. Rebellion, I come against the spirit of rebellion in the name of Jesus and command you to go. All spirits of lust, right now, I break your power. The lust of the eye. The lust of the eye, I break your power in Jesus' name. Lust of the flesh, desiring, that burning, that compelling, the gotta have it. All lust of the flesh, go in Jesus' name. I break the lust of the flesh off of God's people right now. Every form of lust, come out of their eyes, come out of their tongue, come out of their mouth, their ears, their eyes, come out of their reproductive organs, come out of their bones, in the name of Jesus, come out of their blood. All lust spirits, the forbidden thing, lust for the forbidden thing, every unclean spirit, I break your power off God's people right now. Unclean spirits, go in Jesus' name. All predator spirits, pornography, child pornography, spirits of whoredom, every evil spirit, every unclean spirit, go in Jesus' name. The lust for sex, pornography, fornication, and that means any indulgence in any unlawful act, not just intercourse. It covers masturbation, adultery, incest, molestation, oral sex, anal sex, gay and lesbian relationships, bestiality, any unnatural acts with animals, pedophilia, sex with children, or the desire for children. In Jesus' name, I break all these off of God's people right now. Go in Jesus' name. Every spirit mentioned, go in the name of Jesus. The peeping Tom spirit, just want to watch, just want to look, just want to see. The lust of the eye, go in Jesus' name. Perversity, go in the name of Jesus. Sex on the internet, that's new. I mean, not too new, but sex on the internet, go in Jesus' name. Dirty talking, flasher spirits, want to expose yourself. I break your power off God's people in Jesus' name. Dressing to seduce. All indecency, go in the name of Jesus. Prostitution, incubus and succubus, all sex spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Necromancy, that would come to comfort. If you've lost a loved one and they're showing up in your room, you better know it's a demon. It's a familiar spirit. Don't talk, just command it to go in the name of Jesus. It's there to trip you up and to take you captive. All spirits of bondage, go in the name of Jesus. All obsessive compulsive spirits, shoplifting, shopping, stealing, cleaning, gambling, whatever it is, go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of bondage, the lust for food, god of the belly, gluttony, anything you think you've got to have, whatever it is that is your fix, that you know, some people, I got to have my fix. No, I break that power off of you right now in the name of Jesus. To drugs, alcohol, I come against the spirit of pharmakia right now in the name of Jesus. Sugar, sodas, caffeine, nicotine, I break your power in Jesus' name. Chocolate, whatever your weakness is, whatever you got to have every day, whatever you eat that makes you feel good, I break the power of that in Jesus' name. All familiar spirits. I'm talking about the familiar spirit of you're just like your mother, or you're just like your daddy, or you're just like your grandmother, your granddaddy. All familiar spirits, go in Jesus' name. All familiar spirits that cause you to behave as one of your ancestors, go in Jesus' name. The spirit of harlotry, never being satisfied, unrestrained, out of control, being compelled or driven, I break your power in Jesus' name. I break the power of sensuality off of you. The gratification of the senses. Having what you see. Wanting what you smell. Wanting what you taste. In Jesus' name. I break the spirit of pride. Pride, go in Jesus' name. Pride of thinking you can't be deceived. Thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. Self-deception and denial. I don't have anything like that. I don't have seducing spirits working in my life. I break your power right now. The spirit of denial, go in Jesus' name. Self-deception. The spirit of the con, thinking that you're fooling anybody. You may think you're fooling everybody, but the only person you're fooling is yourself. I break the power of the spirit of the con man off of every one of us. Impudence, that cocky boldness and having no regard for others. Selfishness, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. I come against all spirits of vexation, all tormenting spirits, shame. Look what you did. Oh, I can never serve God now because of what I've done. Shame, guilt, self-condemnation, I break your power. Go in Jesus' name. Self-hatred, hating yourself for what you did. Unforgiveness, heaviness, oppression. Depression, hopelessness. I break the spirit of hopelessness off of God's people that I'll never be free from this. I'll never be free from this. I keep doing it over and over again. I'll never be free from this. I break your power. I'll never get the victory. I break your power right now in Jesus' name. Anger. I come against the spirit of anger. Anger at yourself. Anger. Anger at the seducer. Anger at betrayal. For being betrayed, and anger at, and all spirits of anger, rage, resentment, go in Jesus' name. Now I come against the spirit of blame, pointing the finger at somebody else. It was their fault. They seduced me. No, you seduced me. No, the blame game, right after the good man comes home, the blame game starts. It wasn't my fault, it was your fault. No, it was your fault. I mean, they were in agreement a while ago. The spirits were in agreement. But after the good man comes back, they're blaming each other. The spirit of sneakiness, sneaking around to do it, whatever it is. Hiding, the spirit of hiding, the spirits of darkness. I break your power in Jesus' name, plotting and conniving so that you can do it. I mean, even making time for it. You put an appointment slot in your day so that you can, you know, you'll be free. You'll be able to do what it is the seducing spirit is seducing you to do. The spirit of blindness. I break your power, the spirit of blindness. Lord, open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see the seducing spirit when it shows up. That we can turn away from it and rebuke it in the name of Jesus and not agree with it and not go along with it and not follow the path to hell in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I release upon the people a spirit of truth. I release the spirit of truth that any thoughts that don't line up with the truth will be cast down immediately in the name of Jesus. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord I release upon the people. A spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. I release upon the people. I bless you with a spirit of holiness. I bless you with a spirit of wisdom and understanding. I bless you with a spirit, an excellent spirit, a right spirit. I bless you with a spirit of grace and supplications. I bless you, Lord, bless them with the spirit of glory, with the spirit of life, and the discerning of spirits. Lord, give each of us a discerning of spirits to know when something comes our way, what it is and who it's from. Lord, I ask you to restore in them a clean heart and a right spirit and create in them a clean heart and a right spirit. Lord, that our hearts can be clean and they will condemn us not. That we can walk in the freedom and the power and have confidence that you're with us, that there be no separation at all between us and you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this word, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will reveal the seriousness of it to them, Lord, that we can heed this word today and be watchful for that seducing spirit, for the seducing spirits that come eat from our own minds, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord. I ask you to go with each one of us. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us strength to withstand the battle that is ahead. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.